You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Vic Carucci with Michael Regei on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We welcome into the show right now Brent Zwerneman. He is from the Houston Chronicle, from the San Antonio Express News, covers Texas A&M. So, Brent, you were out there at the Pro Day today. Quite a spectacle for Johnny Manziel in College Station, Texas. Give me some of your impressions.
Yeah, he made it even more of a spectacle by coming out in shoulder pads and a helmet. You know, a black helmet, black jersey and shoulder pads, which in talking to all the media veterans and so forth, I don't think anyone's ever seen a guy come out in a helmet and shoulder pads and perform, because ideally they would like everything to be a perfect situation for him to show off their arm strength and accuracy and so forth. But Johnny told us his take was, hey, he's going to show them what it's like in a game-like situation and how accurate he can be that way. So, yeah, it started with a boom, and it was quite a circus around here.
Brent, you had an opportunity to take a look at Manziel, stylize his play for his two seasons quarterback at Texas A&M. That was standing. Give us a sense of your idea of his maturity level. He's saying all the right things about being able to come in and establish his leadership, galvanize his NFL team. Are you buying that from him right now at this point?
I will say I'm buying it. 2 years ago when I first, you know, got to know him a little bit, I would say he has come leaps and bounds in that time, and I think he's really grasped the idea that he has an amazing opportunity at hand, and he's not going to let his partying or you know, his love of the jet-setting lifestyle. And as y'all well know, he comes from a wealthy family, so this is something he's been doing pretty much his whole life, you know, front row NBA seats and so forth. But I do think, to his credit, I think he realizes that he's got an exceptional opportunity here, and that he knows it's going to be all about maturity as an NFL quarterback and a team leader. So, yeah, I am buying it, actually. And, you know, and I still think, yeah, you're going to see those scenes of him outside in L.A. club here and there or what have you. But I do think he's got his head on straight in terms of leading the NFL team.
So, Brent, based on what you could tell from those watching, the observers, we, of course, heard the analysts say a lot of favorable things about the way he threw the ball. In your mind, how did you see him throw it technically compared to the guy you watched play the games that he played, and what you heard maybe, the chatter on the sidelines?
Yeah, I think his showing was that Johnny had a little bit of a reputation, and Coach Kevin Sumlin here at A&M talked about it afterwards, of, you know, maybe throwing the air balls up there or throwing the balls up for grabs, you know, to Mike Evans, and he's had a couple of 6'5" receivers to throw to. So I really think Johnny did a good job today of kind of dispelling that myth that he's just a guy who's going to run around and herky-jerky and, you know, and then just throw it up there when that's his only option. I mean, he was deadly accurate today. I think what they said, the final total was 63 of 65 passes. And, of course, a lot of that credit goes to his receivers for grabbing everything. But I think really only one of those passes was low, and the other one was a drop bobbled as the guy was going out of bounds. So I think one thing in talking to plenty of NFL guys afterward is that they were just tremendously impressed with his accuracy. And not just that, but there were questions about his arm strength. And one guy in particular, and I talked to a lot of guys all at once, but one of them said that his arm is the strongest of the big three, really, between Bortles and Bridgewater. So that Manziel's arm, and he said it's not even close. So that was kind of a surprising element of it as well.
We're chatting with Brent Zwerneman. Brent covers Johnny Manziel in Texas A&M for the Houston Chronicle and the San Antonio Express. Brent, you're very aware, too, of the NFL game, and there's Bill O'Brien sitting with the very first pick in the draft as the new head coach of the Houston Texans. Do you believe that Manziel, and I know his percentages were up this year from inside the pocket, but to be successful in the NFL, Brent, you've got to be able to throw the football inside that pocket and be successful at it. Have you seen enough from Manziel to say that will equate for him in the NFL level?
Good question, because, you know, it's so even if he is going against these SEC defenses, it's still such a different game, obviously, in the NFL. And if you were to point to one area that there might be some concern or maybe a question answered, it's that one. Because obviously, even today, with all his accuracy and all of those things, there weren't any big, you know, 6'5" defenders in his face either. So yeah, if there's been a big knock on him too in the past 2 years, and it worked for A&M, obviously with him setting the single season SEC total yards records 2 years in a row, his scramble, you know, his penchant for tucking and running is the first sign of trouble. So it's certainly something he's been working on with his quarterback guru George Whitfield and so forth. And I think you saw that more at A&M late in the season, and sometimes to the Aggies' detriment, because he was working on it so hard when he could have used his legs probably to get them more yards in the end. But certainly he's aware of it, and certainly something he's working on. But whether in the long run it works out in the NFL, that's one of those big to be determined.
Brent, what kind of feedback do you get from his teammates? What kind of teammate do they think Johnny is, and how do you see that maybe playing into an NFL team's decision to draft him?
You know, they say all the right things. And, you know, our saying around here was they love him on Saturdays because of what he does, you know, or what he did for the team. You did hear things about, you know, last summer and last spring, Johnny really enjoyed his free time, you know, and they had voluntary workouts that maybe he wasn't always a part of and things like that. But again, going back to what we talked about with his maturity, I think he's grown since then as well. And bottom line is his teammates love what he did for Texas A&M in this offense the past 2 years. It's just a shame he couldn't play defense, because that's the only thing that held them back from competing for a national title, because it certainly wasn't on Johnny. And as you know, by and large, and everything you hear, and even in private conversations with his teammates, you know, they kind of love the guy he is. But it's one of those things also, everyone loves a winner.
Final question for Brent Zwerneman, who covers Johnny Manziel for the Houston Chronicle and San Antonio Express. Brent, I could make a case that on most NFL draft boards, two of his Texas A&M teammates that you just talked about, both Jake Matthews and Mike Evans, are rated ahead of him with higher value attached than Manziel. Fact or fiction in your mind?
You know, I would say Evans potentially, because that guy is just the total package as a receiver. He's got the speed, he's got the size. He's got the mentality, and he's a converted high school basketball player. He's only been playing football for just a few years. More so, I would say, than Jake Matthews, who, of course, is from the famous Matthews family. I think today it might have changed that, though, in terms of what Johnny did and the way he was able to show his arm strength and accuracy and so forth. So I'd be curious to see where those mock drafts are after today's pro day, because he performed so exceptionally. But you know, I would say that Mike Evans has got a tremendous upside. And Jake Matthews is what you'd expect from a Matthews. He's just a big, solid guy who's going to be a longtime NFL guy. But Mike Evans is very intriguing, I'll put it that way.
Good stuff, Brent. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us, my friend.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Great All breakdown, right. Brent. Thanks.
Yeah, that was really good stuff. Brent Zwerneman, he again covers the Texas A&M Aggies.
Beat guy, Vic, just and like you, man.
That's there you go. Yeah.
Going
like
back
it.
To your roots. Beat guys know the best.
Fellow beat guys, that's right. Houston Chronicle, San Antonio Express News, covering Texas A&M Aggies for them. All right, we've got much more coming up for you on this, again, Football Thursday edition. We want to hear from you. Let's get your calls and your thoughts on Johnny Manziel, any other draft thoughts you have. The biggest questions of the day being, were you impressed with Manziel's pro day? And two, who's the number one QB on the board for you, okay, as you see all these pro days now that they're completed? Who do you have up there? And we want to hear from you by phone. We want to hear from you via Twitter, @Browns_daily. We're going to get into some of those tweets in a little bit as well. Vic Carucci with Michael Regei, who is filling in for Nathan Zagura. This is ESPN 850 WKNR.